Welcome to the Clubhouse with Shane Bacon. I am your host, Shane Bacon, and an exciting one this week. Mike Kaiser here in the Clubhouse for the first time, of course, the founder of Bannon Dunes. As Bannon Dunes celebrates 20 years of existence, I'll be out at Bannon this week. As you're listening to this podcast, I'm probably going to be on, I think, the fourth hole of Bannon Dunes right now. It's a pretty good one. And just spending the week out there, going to have a chat with Mr. Kaiser and David McClay Kidd on May 2nd. So what you're hearing today will be a lot of what we're going to be touching on at Bannon Dunes in front of a group of people that they invited. So you'll get kind of an early taste of a little of what I asked Mike about Bannon Dunes and the creation of it and what it's done for golf and what he plans to do moving forward. And had a great chat with him. Unbelievable guy. I mean, you know, you just think about what the Kaiser effect has done for golf. The Kaiser effect is something that David McClay Kidd has mentioned to me a couple of times. You think about all that's come with it, and you go to Wisconsin and Cabot and around the world, golf has become more fun, easier, and Bannon to me is the pinnacle of it. I love the place. You know, it's where I had my bachelor party. It is where I love to go. I just love the relaxed feel. The golf is great. It is such an unbelievable hang. So I'm excited to go, as you can tell. I hope you enjoy this week's podcast because it was a lot of fun to have Mike on. Before we get to Mike, just wanted to let you know about the new Pro V1 and Pro V1X from Titleist. They've been redesigned for more speed, more precision, and more consistency than ever before. And if you can compare the two golf balls, the Pro V1 has a softer feel, lower ball flight than the Pro V1X. The Pro V1X, it's the one I play. It has a higher flight, more spin, and a firmer feel. Both models continue to provide proven drop and stop greenside control, lasting durability, and unsurpassed quality. And now both are available in yellow. And I got to tell you this, my golf bag headed to Bannon Dunes, all yellow Pro V1Xs. That's it. That's all I got in the bag. They say Bacon on the side. They are yellow. I absolutely love them. My golf course, Phoenix Country Club, the driving range is right between the first hole and the ninth fairway. So you can hit, for me, a lefty, I can hit a little bit of a push. If you're a righty, maybe a little bit of a pull. You can hit it in the driving range. All the driving range balls are white. So if you're looking for your golf ball, it is very, very nice to be playing the yellow Pro V1X because it's a lot easier to grab and pull out and take your free relief from the driving range. Prove how good you can be. Tee up the new Pro V1 or Pro V1X on your next round. Trust me, you will love them. The golf balls are excellent. I got a dozen for my buddy Ashton Woods, who's headed with me to Bannon Dunes. I'm going to surprise him with those when he heads over to pick me up in the Uber here in just a little bit. And off we go. Going to Bannon, playing 4 days of golf, playing as much as we can. And the weather actually looks like it should be pretty nice. We got a little bit lucky with the forecast as of now. As you obviously know, everything can change. Trust me, the rain gear is packed. The rain gloves are there. I even got a rain hat from FootJoy that I'm excited to wear. I hope it doesn't blow off, though. It's got a pretty big circumference, so we'll see if it stays on if the winds pick up. But I'm going to try to wear it one day at least, just because they were nice enough to send it to me. All right, enough from me. Had a great weekend. Played in the club championship at my club. Lost in the semifinals to now the four-time champion, a fellow named Nick Beach, who played unbelievable down the stretch against me. It was a great match, kind of a back-and-forth affair, and hats off to him. Man, match play is just the best. Match play, when you're in a good match and birdies are being had and putts are being made from long distances to have holes, you know, the format is just so much more fun to me than just a regular stroke play format. And we were in one of those matches, came down to 18, and he hit a heck of a chip up there to about a foot for birdie and went on to win one up and went on to win the club championship again. So hats off to him. I had a lot of fun. Even in a loss, it was an awesome, awesome competition. That's all I asked for. All right, enough from me. Let's get to Mr. Kaiser. And we welcome into the clubhouse for the first time, which is a bit surprising considering how much I love most of the things, if not all the things he does. Mike Kaiser in, of course, the brains behind Bannon Dunes and, of course, plenty of other great golf courses and great golf resorts around the country and elsewhere. So, Mike, appreciate you joining us and excited about 20 years. I can't believe it's been 20 years. That's unbelievable.
No one I know can believe it's 20 years, including me. It was a project, as you know, Shane, that didn't make any sense to most people, including me, when I began. And its success from day one was astonishing to everyone who knew about it. And we're equally astonished that it's now been low 20 years.
Well, I wanted to ask
just one astonishment after another.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you personally about your relationship with golf from the start. I mean, I know you were into golf courses in the 90s and even in the 80s. I know you were always passionate about the game of golf, but where did you get started with golf? What was your introduction to the game?
My introduction was the East Aurora Country Club, 20 miles south of Buffalo, 9-hole course, not very good, although I thought it was the best course I'd ever seen because for years it was the only course I'd ever seen. And I had great summer after great summer after great summer, I want to say from age 9 to 13, 14, before I started going to camp as a camp counselor, playing golf slash caddying every single day with a nice juicy hamburger thrown in the middle of the day. It was life at its ultimate for 5 years.
Yeah, it's interesting.
So I learned everything as a kid.
Yeah, I mean, I was a 9-hole guy. I grew up on a small golf course in East Texas, and you think back to those moments in your life, and it was as good as it could be. I mean, you played as much golf as possible from sunup to sundown. You didn't care necessarily what you shot or how you played. You just wanted to get a hot dog at the turn, and it's so true. I mean, as a kid, your vision of golf is something that I wish, you know, myself at 35 could go back on and say, think about golf more like that.
Yeah, it's pure fun and very simple. I would take exception, remember the time it took, the number of months or years it took you to break 50 for the first time? That was that was the big one. And in my group, I was not the first or even the second to break 50, and then I couldn't do it reliably. All of that was the sort of the serious side of the fun we were having.
So
that it's that serious.
Yeah, well, the Bandon thing, Bandon Dunes, you know, now it is in every golfer's vernacular. I mean, when you talk about places to go, I mean, I get messages on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram from people asking questions about Bandon. How do you do it? What do you play? How many days do you go? How many people should we bring? You know, this was something for you. You sold a business. It was a recycled greeting card business. And something Matt Janella said I loved in a sit-down with you one time is you went from recycling paper to recycling communities, and Bandon was really the first one. I mean, this wasn't some unbelievable prospering area. This was a decaying, gorse-covered, you know, land next to the water. Where did the idea of this come from for you?
It came from Royal Dornoch, my favorite Scottish course. I happen to like Ballybunion almost as well in Ireland, but my model was Royal Dornoch. And so why would I even think that a golf course in the middle of nowhere would work? Royal Dornoch, way back when I first started going, probably 30 years ago, was always packed with Americans. The tour buses pulled up, they got off, they played, they got back in the tour bus and went on to the next stop. The fact that it was so popular and so far, as you probably know from Edinburgh, to say nothing of London, told me that maybe it isn't totally crazy to picture if you could take Dornoch or something pretty close to it and plop it down in Bandon, Oregon, it might work.
And it's not just work there. Yeah, it's not just work there. It's worked at Cabot as well. I mean, you found these. What I find so amazing is finding these gems. I mean, you find Cabot, which is in nowhere Nova Scotia. Sand Valley, very similar, kind of in the middle of Wisconsin. It's an interesting drive to get there. You have to have your headlights on bright to just find it if you're coming in at night like I did last year. You know, this isn't just a one-off thing. I mean, you've done this all over the country and really all over the world.
How about Bridport, Tasmania? Do you have any idea where Tasmania is, much less Bridport? I've been there, and it's quite remote. It's also gorgeous. The entire island of Tasmania, much like King Island, which is just to the north, has nothing but great lynx sites. That's the one thing I would add. You know, what are they all? What do they all have in common? They're all lynx courses, or in the case of Sand Valley, lynx-like, since it's not on the ocean. But it is all on sand, beautiful dunes. And that's what I, you know, took a chance on. Will Americans like lynx golf? They certainly seem to, given all the trips they make to Ballybunion and Dornoch. And lo and behold, Shane, no surprise, Americans love lynx golf. It's so much more natural and pure.
And one of the things one of the things I loved so much about Bandon when I first went, and I went for the first time, I believe there were two golf courses. I don't think trails had been built yet. I'd have to think back. I think I went on a trip with a golf club company. But one of the things I loved about it is the simplicity of of it all. I mean, I think when now, 20 years in, people think about Bandon Dunes, I'm sure in their head they have a vision, right? I mean, they've seen pictures, you know, they've seen videos, they've seen stuff on social media, but I'm sure in their head they think, what are the rooms going to be like? You know, what's the restaurants going to be like? And I always say the rooms are homey, but they're not extravagant. The hotel's comfortable. It's not lavish. Was that a point to
just
be made?
What we guys set out to do, Shane.
That's what I was going to ask. Your
description is exactly what we, and there again, I go to Ballybunion and Dornick and almost all the other stops with the exception of Turnberry, which is sort of fancy. And I like Turnberry, but a typical stay in Dornick or Edinburgh, in Dornick and other golf venues are very basic, just as you described the rooms at Bandon. Pretty nice, but we didn't aim for 5-star or even 4-star. An example of that is our number 3 selling item on the menu, and it's been there for 20 years, is Mother Thayer's meatloaf. And that was consciously picked as a statement. You know, we're a meatloaf place. We are not a fancy food place, even though, you know, you can get some fancy food. But our hallmark is meatloaf. Just a place to relax.
Yeah, it's interesting. I try to force everybody that comes with me for the first time to have meatloaf. I actually did my, I don't know if you knew this or not, I did my bachelor party at Bandon Dunes, I had probably, I think I had 16 guys, and I think maybe 4 or 5 of us had been to Bandon before. So it was kind of a majority of virgins to the resort. And so, you know, we sit down in the pub the first night, got a big table. And I said, listen, if you like meatloaf, that's what you're ordering. Don't even get a menu. And of course, they all fell in love with it. And that was something fun. You know, for me as a golfer, and I mean, of course, I know I work in the industry and all that stuff. But as a golfer, there's a place close to my heart in Bandon Dunes simply because it is in America, which I think is amazingly cool. And it's something I feel like never disappoints. And I mean, I know you've probably heard from people that have had unbelievable experiences. I know you've probably heard from people that didn't have a great experience. And when people go and tell you, maybe it's not for me, what do you say back to those types of people to maybe bring them back or to at least open their eyes a little bit more to what it is?
There are not that many people who write to complain. I think they're certainly complainers. And I think they would tend to go to the more luxurious places, including Pebble. You know, Pebble is a 5-star place. Pinehurst is probably a 4-star. Kiowa, 4 or 5-star. We set out to be 3-star. In general, I would say people appreciate it in the whole spectrum of from you, which is total delight, all the way down to, the lights weren't very good, or the people sort of complain around the edges. Not too many of them, I don't think, come back repeatedly, but their complaints tend to be about the little things, not one big thing. They don't say, I am too good for a 3-star place. They just say, you know, I had bad service on Tuesday night.
And that's something that
caddies are, are another part of your impression. Wouldn't you agree, Shane?
Absolutely.
I am so proud of our caddy program, which numbers 350. So many of those guys are good to extremely good golfers. We just had 2 caddies to qualify for the upcoming USGA 4-ball championship in late May. And 2 of our caddies are in the tournament, which is, as you know, a national international tournament. Anyway, the caddy experience sort of brings you down to their activity level, and they're bright and helpful and fun, and just about everyone finds a new friend in the caddy of their trip.
Now, I have a story. I have a question about a story that I always hear about Bandon, and I think it's one of those stories that has continued to grow. It's like the fish story. You know, I caught this fish. It's this big, and your hands keep going out and out and out. So Bandon Trails, which I contend is still my favorite golf course, and I'm gonna dive into Trails here in a minute with you. But there's a story about Trails, and on the top of the hill at 14, and that was kind of the vision to see the whole resort and to see the whole golf course. Is that story true? Was it you up there? Was it Bill Coore? And can you tell kind of that story? Because I've heard 4 or 5 different versions of it, and a lot of them end with somebody walking on the beach.
We didn't make it to the beach. We made it to that point, which that point was part of a trail along that high dune, if you remember, Shane. That trail was built by Shorty and Charlotte Dow, who were the caretakers of the site since the 30s, I think. They've been there forever. So they had this walk. They're hikers, and they had this walking trail along the top. And when I came out to see the see the site because of a call I got from a broker in Gold Beach, Oregon, who said, I don't know if this is any good for golf, but I hear you're looking for a golf course site on the ocean. And I've got a mile, I've got a parcel that's 1,500 acres, and it's got a mile and a half of ocean frontage. It's covered in gorse and Scottish broom. That can't be good. It's got these huge, big valleys, but I just thought I'd call. So 3 weeks later, I've journeyed out and met up with the broker, Annie Huntermer, and Shorty and Charlotte. And that was the point that Shorty knew that the only, because the whole site was overgrown in gorse, you couldn't go to the ocean's edge because of the gorse. He knew that this was the best overlook site, and we went there. We went there, and I looked at it. And right then, I knew, Shane, that this is, I wasn't going to find any better in, I won't say the world, but in the United States. I looked at the big dunes. I looked at the gorse and broom that were, let's say, in bloom, the ocean a mile away, and it all said Lynx Golf. So I bought it from Duke Watson and his two buddies 3 weeks later. Duke Watson at the time was 82, married to a wonderful woman, and the three of them had bought it to build a resort just before they changed the land use laws of Oregon. They changed them from, hey, do whatever you want, to don't even think about it. And poor Duke and his pals were just plumb out of luck, and they just held on to it, not knowing what else to do with it until they turned 80, and then it took 4.5 years to find me. That in itself is astonishing, that they were looking to sell 1,500 acres on the ocean at the same time I was looking for 1,500 acres on the ocean in Bandon. What are the odds?
Yeah, not great. So that's the process for Bandon Dunes. I want to ask about the process for other properties. I mean, you've obviously expanded your golfing portfolio over the years. Walk us through the process now you guys go through when you're either thinking about a property, you've been told about a property. What's the process that you guys go through kind of from, 10,000 feet or so above?
We just did that in Zions National Park in the southwest corner of Utah. I saw some pretty pictures and talked to David Kidd, who's quite the salesman, and he had just gotten back from a trip to a visit with a guy who had land out there. And he said, Mike, it's all sand. It's perfect for golf. Meaning, it's all sand. It's perfect for golf. And I'm the architect. He's always selling. So I immediately, I've always wanted to go to the southwest corner of Utah, never had an excuse. This was my excuse, and I rather liked the idea. I wasn't totally on board, but I could see from the photos he sent, it was all sand and all gorgeous in a Phoenix kind of way. And I mentioned it, as I would if with any site that came up, mentioned it to a number of people, including my two sons. And one of the people I mentioned it to said, do you have any idea how hot it is there in the summer? I said, no, I assume it's cool like Park City. He said, no, it's 105 degrees all summer. That was my due diligence, Shane. I have yet to go there. I probably won't go there.
That's it.
So some kind of informal due diligence on, should we go to the Florida Panhandle or should we go to the Philippines? No, should we go to the beautiful dunes of Vietnam? That's been pitched to me many times, and I've said unless I can own it, which you can't in Vietnam or China or to Cuba, I don't want to go there. Cuba, by the way, will be a great golf destination when it becomes free. They have some great sites there, which I've visited, as does Vietnam, as does Hainan Island.
So you've gotten everything. I mean, you've gotten pitched all sorts of places all over the world. I mean, do you look at pictures? I mean, do you travel out there and look at them? I mean, I know you're saying you're not going to get invested unless you can own the property, but when somebody comes to you with these types of places, do you jump at a plane and fly over the property? How do you go about doing all that?
No, I find a trustworthy second in command and send him, which I did in both Sand Valley and Cabot Links. Josh Lesnick was my trusted messenger. In both cases, I heard great things about the site. It was in Nova Scotia and Wisconsin. In both cases, I said, this doesn't sound like something I want to do. In both cases, the sweet season is so short. And I didn't think anyone would go to Nova Scotia, and Wisconsin wasn't really Lynx land. So I said, in both cases, separated by probably 6 years, 8 years, Josh, I want you to go there, take a look, do your due diligence. And the answer I would like to hear from you is, you don't need to do this, Mike, which he understood. So he trooped off and came back basically the same for both and said, I know what you want me to say, but it's really, really good. So if it gets that far, then I'm stuck with making a visit. And in both cases, I felt that Josh probably understated it, that it was, and especially with Cabot, which was turns out to be a fabulous site between Cabot Links and Cabot Cliffs, 2.5 miles of ocean frontage. Wow, what a sight.
It was one of those places. I was lucky. I went to Cabot Links. Goodness, this was probably 5 or 6 years ago. It was before Cliffs opened, and I was out there. I was with my girlfriend at the time, now my wife, and unfortunately we got lost, and so it took us about 7 hours to get to the golf course from the airport instead of the typical 4.5. I blame her always. You got to blame the person with the map.
Yeah,
but we show up, and I remember I walked out on the property there, and I just looked out, and it looked like you were at the end of the earth. I mean, there's no, you can't really see any land or any islands, you know, when you're standing kind of right there at Cabot. And I was out there. Bill Kaur was doing some of the greens on Cliffs when I did a little tour over there, and I believe he said something to the tune of, there won't be any better land on the planet to build a golf course than this is now, you know, considering where everything else has been built up. And so, you know, I mean, when you get tipped off on places like this, I mean, as you said, you've got to basically go to a community that doesn't know much about golf or maybe doesn't care much about golf, and you've got to sell them on this resort. And what's so cool about some of these places like Cabot is the bar and the restaurant at the resort is also where the locals go. So you're in there with all these people from Nova Scotia, you know, from the Cabot area, and they're all enjoying this resort locally, just like we are, you know, flying in from Arizona. And I mean, I always have felt like that's some of the coolest parts about these types of golf resorts, is it doesn't feel like you're there with the stuffiest of stuffy people. It feels like you're there with people that love to be there and love to play golf.
That's a good observation, because that's right. You know, locals would not feel comfortable going to, I don't think, this is not to denigrate, but to go to the Pebble Beach overlooking the 18th, because it's not for them. But they clearly feel comfortable at, I know, Sand Valley, the town of Rome, Wisconsin. There's no place like Rome. The locals there are regulars at both our restaurant and our turnstand, which is up on the volcano. Maybe a little less so in Bandon because it's 5 miles outside of town. But certainly the locals feel comfortable, and there are hundreds of employees and caddies there. So you're right to observe that it's got a nice feeling to it because the locals are there.
Wanted to take a quick break in the conversation with Mr. Kaiser to let you know that hiring is challenging. Sure it is, but there's one place you can go where hiring is simple, fast, and smart, a place where growing businesses connect to qualified candidates. That place is ZipRecruiter.com/clubhouse. ZipRecruiter sends your job to over 100 of the web's leading job boards, but they don't stop there. With their powerful matching technology, ZipRecruiter scans thousands of resumes to find people with the right experience and invites them to apply to your job. As applications come in, ZipRecruiter analyzes each one and spotlights the top candidates so you never miss a great match. And ZipRecruiter is so effective that 4 out of 5 of employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site within the first day. And right now, my listeners, that's you right now, can try ZipRecruiter for free at this exclusive web address, ZipRecruiter.com/clubhouse. That's ZipRecruiter.com/clubhouse. ZipRecruiter.com/clubhouse. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. All right, back to Mr. Kaiser. Well, I mentioned I want to get back to Bandon Trails, and I'm gonna kind of weave in Sand Valley here. I have always voted, you know, it's a fun thing to do about Bandon. I mean, everybody has their top four, right? And I've always said Trails is my favorite. I actually put it in a magazine one time. There was about 20 journalists. I was the only one that had Trails number one. I got people on Twitter saying, "You're an idiot. What are you talking about?" And I mean, I've been called an idiot for much worse. But I always look at Bandon Trails as the 18 holes that it is. And I think to myself, if there wasn't an ocean here, this is the best collection of 18 holes on the property. And something interesting you've done that went with Sand Valley is you built a resort without ocean around it. And that is taking a big leap to some, until you point out, as you have in interviews before, Pine Valley doesn't have ocean, Sand Hills doesn't have ocean. I mean, you can go on and on. Prairie Dunes doesn't have ocean. And these are unbelievable golf courses. So tell people from the man himself that they don't need ocean to have an unbelievable 18-hole golf course.
Yeah, I feel that I'm talking to George Pepper, because if George says if it's inland, it can't be. If it has any trees, it can't be. Period. It can't be. You can't argue it. So I say the true Lynx course is Lynxland in Scotland, Ireland, where it's the land that links arable land with the beach. So it's basically agriculturally worthless, which is why trees don't grow on it. Agriculturally worthless land on the ocean is what a true Lynx course is. If it is pretty close to that, and let's go to Sand Hills, and you said Prairie Dunes, both good cases because they're pretty treeless. Sand Hills has no trees. I think Prairie Dunes has very few. So the tree argument doesn't apply to those two Lynx courses. And the fact that it's not in the ocean is a mere detail. So that would be my answer, Shane. It's the ocean can be a mere detail if you have a site like Sand Hills, Prairie Dunes, or Sand Valley.
A mere detail. I'm going to start using that. I'm going to steal your little line. Don't tell anybody. I'm going to do that.
Yeah.
All right. I've got to ask you about the sheep ranch. It's something that I feel like probably 2 years ago, the sheep ranch was this novelty. And now it's continued to grow and grow and grow. I've heard from certain architects that they believe it could be the best property really at Bandon if and when it gets developed and becomes something. Is there still plans to do something there? Is that something you guys want to do, add another golf course and use that piece of property for it?
Yes, there are plans to do it. We've selected an architect, Coeur Crenshaw. They've done a routing that is fabulous. I've walked the routing with Bill. It's fabulous. And we will have an announcement reasonably soon. By the time I see you next, Shane, or if you just want to mark it for 3 to 4 weeks from now, that's roughly the timetable that Phil, my partner on this one, and I have agreed that it's safe to begin talking about building it.
And also something that you've been pretty passionate about is that Bandon Muni Golf Links project. It's something you wanted to do. It kind of goes back to St. Andrew's roots, where can go out there and play basically for free. And I know that's something that has always been passionate, something you've been really passionate about in your career, is Bandon Muni Links. And this is something that's going to be off property, I believe. Is that something that's still in the works?
No, in part because of the sheep plans for the sheep ranch will not eliminate all the interest in the Bandon Muni. That's a sad tale very quickly. It took me not 1 year, but 8 years to convince the state parks to trade some land to make a good site even better. It was land they had right on the ocean. And it took them 8 years to extract an exorbitant amount of money from me to do it. But I finally agreed. And then we needed the Bureau of Land Management in Washington to say yes to the whole thing. And under Obama, the BLM didn't like any development. So when they said, what's your plan here? And I said, locals play almost free. When we have a caddy program, we'll send a lot of kids to the with Evans scholarships off to college. They said, those are the two things that we don't like. You're going to charge Shane Bacon $250 when the locals play $10. That's not right. And you're going to make a profit. And I said, no, this is a not-for-profit. And they said, well, you're going to send kids to college. That suggests you have money to do so. That means you're making a profit. And when I heard those two reasons, I knew that it wasn't going to happen. So that it saddens me, because that was 10 years. It's such a great site. It was all for the community. And our government bureaucrats at various points stalled and then finally said no. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, government, just get in the way again. Don't get in the way of our golf, for goodness sakes. Leave it alone. There's four courses at Bandon, and I've had this conversation with a couple of friends of mine, and I wanted to ask you, because you would obviously know this, the first hole at all four courses, you look at Pacific, Old Mac, Bandon, Trails, The first hole of all four of the golf courses is a very, very friendly handshake. I mean, if you think about Bandon Dunes, I mean, it's you don't have to hit driver, and it's probably an 8 or 9 iron into the green. I mean, Pacific's is probably the toughest. Old Max it looks like a runway, wide fairway. Is that a conscious effort? Is that something you talk to the architects about to make sure that first hole is a little friendlier than maybe some of the other ones, so people can kind of get into their round?
Yes, and get them into it and get them out of the way. I would like to take credit for that, Shane. I'm sure we talked about that. You know, is this too easy a hole? But the architects were all over that. They know that, you know, that you don't want to start with a par three. You don't even want a par three as the second hole, which we have at Trails. And we do that because the site was so perfect for that number two at Trails that we built it. But architects try to avoid long back-breaking holes to start with. So I'll give full credit to the architects.
Full credit to the architects, but you're taking – it sounded like you're taking like 2% credit. Are you going to take like 2% credit
right.
for it? It's okay if you take it. It's fine.
2%
we'll
based on my experience at the Dunes Club in New Buffalo, Michigan. guess what? That was the first course I built, and number one there is 430 yards. It's a backbreaker. So I learned my lesson from number one.
It's so funny how golf. Yeah, it's so funny how golfers. It doesn't matter what the first hole is. You know, they're still the jitters. They're still a little bit nervous. I've always loved the idea of the first hole being nice, because if you look back at the history of the game, I mean, if you miss the first fairy at the old course, I mean, they basically want to ask you to leave. You know, it's one of those. I caddied at St. Andrews after college, and I'd have golfers that hit it out of bounds right at one, and I'd be thinking this is going to be a long 4.5 hours of my life, you know, because I knew that was what I was in for if they missed the fairway at the first hole there. And so I've always liked it. I've always thought it was really cool. The only exception is when you play the backs at Pacific, you're right by the bar and the wind's normally into your face, and you've got to pulverize a driver to just get it down there to like 7 iron range.
Remember when Ian Baker Finch when he was in decline, the old course first tee, he hit it way left into the parking lot at the Russex Hotel.
He hit it out of bounds left, and then you know what I've always said was one of those moments that I think was forgotten was Spieth hit it on 18 when he was trying to win 3 majors in a row. He almost hit it in the grandstands left. I mean, as I've said, I caddied for some bad golfers, and left out of bounds on 18 is hard to do. I mean, that was a miscue, that's for sure.
That was Spieth?
Yeah, Spieth in 15 when he was. When he was going for 3 in a row, obviously he'd won the Masters, he won at Chambers Bay, and he'd missed that short putt on 17, had to make birdie on 18, and he blew that thing, I think it was left of the tee boxes on one up against the grandstands, and he got a drop. But, I mean, again, the old course is a great example of the first hole being massively friendly and allowing you, hopefully, to get into your round, so that's nice. I do want to ask you about something maybe people even that have been to Bandon Dunes don't know about, and where the idea of this came from, the labyrinth. There's no signage. There's some little signs. Maybe you can find it. Maybe you can't. It's hidden in the woods. It's one of my favorite little things to show people at Bandon Dunes. Was that somebody's plan, or was that just something you did?
My partner and very good friend, Howard McKee, God bless him, now deceased, on his, not his deathbed, but he had colon cancer and knew he was a goner. So I asked him a number of times, Howard, is there anything I can do for you? For the afterlife. And he said, no, it's fine. I've had a great relationship with you. He did all the architectural work at Bandon Dunes. So if you like the resort, you like Howard McKee. And with about a month to go, he didn't know that, but it turns out with a month to go, he said, you know, I've been thinking about what you can do for me. And you know, it would really be special. There's this place in this beautiful forest that will never develop that I would love to see a labyrinth, which is one of his favorite things, it turned out. So after he died, his widow, Kennan, and my wife, Lindy, and I went to Paris, and then on to Chartres to see the Chartres Cathedral, which is where the labyrinth originated, at least the labyrinth we were duplicating. It was built in, I think, year 1000. So we saw it, and I found out that they make labyrinth kits in America. You can have any kind of labyrinth you want, including the one that you like at Bandon Dunes. And we landscaped it, I think, very nicely on that peninsula. And isn't it a nice, sweet spot to just go and be there for 5 minutes or go read a book for 2 hours? We tried mentioning it to people, and golfers are fairly single-minded. You know, if they're not playing golf, they're drinking. If they're not drinking, they're eating. And if they're not eating, they're sleeping. So to get them to walk there to see a, what is it, a lab? Is that a maze? Most people don't know. So we started to depend on caddies and employees with the right people to say, you should go see it.
But the small signage
so
is
I'm
great.
Very,
yeah, I love that you guys have those little wooden signs. They don't say anything on them. If you're at the resort, you might notice one depending on where you're staying. But they'll point you in the direction. And I think for anybody out there that's never been or is going back to Bandon, it is worth it. You know, as Mike said, going for 5 minutes just to see it. Because it really is this – there's a hole in the forest, basically. I mean, it's crazy. Like, you look up, and even if it's raining, it's very peaceful and serene. I'm a big fan. I always try to take my buddies over that way.
I do the same thing.
Yeah, for you in golf, you were such a golf-minded man, and you're obviously in the business of golf now. Are you still passionate about playing? Do you still love going out and play? Do you play once a week when you can? I mean, what does your golfing now look like?
I would say play the same, but I've been spoiled. I'm 73 years of age, so I've played a lot of lousy golf courses and a lot of courses that are good but not great. So I've been spoiled by the links experience at Bandon Dunes and Dornick and Ballybunion, and I will play 36 holes a day, all day, every day on those. And if you give me a Parkland course, I probably won't jump at the chance. So I increasingly play when I'm at Bandon Dunes, Cabot, and Sand Valley. I don't go to Tasmania much more. I will end up doing the same thing when my friend Rick Kane completes the second and third course at Tara Iti in New Zealand. That will be a destination of three great links courses after he starts and finishes the next two. That's Tara Iti. That's a place I would go and play 36 a day for as long as I could stay there. So that's my answer. I'm spoiled. I play the same, but my mix is... I'd say top 20 only. I've become a golf snob.
That's okay. I mean, hey, at least you can admit it. That's all that matters. As long as you admit the fact that you're a snob, I gotta tell you.
I can tell you are too.
I'm starting to sneak into that. I got married in Queenstown, New Zealand, and I played Jack's Point, and they were actually having a wedding at Tara Iti, and I couldn't go there because the resort was basically booked out. I believe it was the owner's daughter that was getting married. And of course, I've seen photos and friends have gone down there, and they say it is one of those places you've got to go check out. I'm a big logo guy. I love golf logos. I've talked to people at Sand Hills, and I've talked to Olympic Club about where their logos came from. I believe that if you have a good logo, it can be identified anywhere, and if you have a bad logo, nobody does anything, and you lose a lot of money because of it. So what's the process for you in your places, you know, throughout the world to choose a logo per the golf course? Because what I find interesting about the Bandon logos is I love how they subtly touch not just parts of the golf course, but kind of parts of the land and the area there.
Yeah. I'd say two things, both of which come from my greeting card background. Phil and I picked thousands of greeting cards, or went through thousands of greeting cards every year to pick the hundreds that we would print and throw the rest away. But we didn't rely on our intuition. We relied first up on our choice, getting, 100 designs down to 3 or 4. And then we would print them and actually put them in stores and see what consumers bought. I do the same thing with logos. I try to get 50 or so ideas and boil it down to 2, 3, or 4, then boil it down to 2, then put them on shirts and put them at Bandon Dunes and see what you buy.
Well, they do a good job because the Puffin is, I believe I read that the Puffin is now the second most recognizable logo in all of golf outside of course, the Masters yellow logo there.
Yeah.
So that was it. I would say I'm gonna give
you. That's good to hear.
I'm gonna give you a compliment. Way to go on that one. That's pretty good to do.
Yeah, that is.
All right, I'm gonna ask you a tough question. What's your favorite hole on
Which
property?
Is my favorite.
What's your favorite hole on property at Bandon Dunes? And you can say you don't have one. That's fine.
I do have one. 16. At Bandon Dunes, the short par 4. David Kidd's masterpiece, and it's based on the many times per year I am asked to, pick a cover for a calendar, for an article, whatever, And I go through, I say, well, send me some new photos. So I see old photos and new photos, and nothing beats number 16. And I have to admit, just in terms of an interesting golf experience, it's awfully good, especially for a short four. So that's my favorite. I'd say number 11 at Pacific Dunes is number two, but number 13 at Pacific Dunes is awfully strong. That's the par four with a huge sand dune to the right of it, inland of it.
It's one
so
of
those
best.
Would be my top three.
That finish,
dunes.
That finish at Pacific is just crazy when you kind of just skirt the ocean and then, of course, you play back up towards the clubhouse, which, I mean, it has, the very first USGA event I did for Fox was the four ball that we had at Pacific. And as we were kind of driving the golf, and I'd been out there a few times, we're driving the golf course, we're looking at the holes, people that hadn't been there kind of asking questions, we're walking the greens, and it hit me. I was thinking, man, this is an unbelievable back nine for match play. You know, there's short par fours, there's long par fours, there's par fives, there's par threes back to back. It's just it's such a good mix of like fun types of holes that if you had
I agree.
Match play event there, it would be, you know, you're not going to get bored. You're going to be massively interested on every hole because there's so much risk reward on that back nine.
I agree. That was Tom was worried about back to back threes, and I said, Tom, these are two magnificent holes. Come on, we love it. And he easily acquiesced.
Well, I'm going to get you out on this. When you're long gone, and of course that hopefully is for a long, long time from now, but Mike Kaiser is long gone, Bandon, Cabot, Sand, everything is still rocking and rolling. What do you hope people are saying about you and what you've done for the game of golf?
Wasn't he nice to build, my goal is 20 links courses all over the world that we can go and enjoy just the way we do at Dornick and Ballybunion and all the great links courses. What a nice thing for golf. Because you know the number of people who have built lousy golf courses, or usually lousy is the wrong word, extremely difficult, quote, championship courses. And as you know from what you've read about me, I like building courses for you and me and the retail golfer. You probably know that Tom Doak is going to do the third course at Sand Valley, the third 18-hole course.
Right.
And he and we agree that we're going to make it 6,000 to 6,200 yards. That will be from the tips. And it'll take a lot of flack, but we're basically building it for the retail golfer. For the really good player, is 6,200 yards enough? No. For most of us, I'd say at least 95% of us is 6,200 yards or less just fine. Yes. So that's what we're going to do.
Well, it's
we're going to go in the opposite direction of post-World War II golf, which went longer and longer and longer. Thank you, Robert Trent Jones Sr. We're going shorter and shorter and shorter.
Well, you know, it's really interesting. You had a great point you made in the interview was a few years back, and it's something that that I feel like has taken over golf a little bit. You know, for so long, golf was top 100 lists, and it was professional golf, and that's what golf was. It was you're watching golf on TV, and you want to check off all these certain golf courses that somebody tells you to play. And you might go get your absolute teeth kicked in, but hey, at least you got the vest from that place. And what I've always loved about all the stuff that you guys do is that you've made golf courses that can be fun to play. And I can play with my dad, who's 70 years old, and probably an 18 handicap now. I can play with my uncle, who's 67 years old and is a 10 handicap. And I can play with my buddy Ashton, who's a plus one handicap. And at no point... At no point on any golf course at any resort is anybody thinking this is too hard or this is too easy. They're just out there enjoying themselves. So I would say that is something that I look at what y'all have done and just say thanks from every golfer around, because golf should be fun, for goodness sakes. I know it's silly to think, but it should be actually a good time to be out there.
I totally agree. And you've played Dornick. I use Dornick a lot because I think it is the perfect model. And it's so playable. And so gorgeous. I think you understand why it's my model. You know, Ballybunion is a great model, except it's such a unique site with putting greens on top of dunes that I'd think of it as a great experience and not a great model for what I'm doing. Dornick is just perfect.
Dornick is unbelievable. Of course, Bandon Dunes right up there with it, if you ask me. Mike Kaiser, I really appreciate it. As I said, congrats on 20 years. It is crazy to
Thank
think
you,
that
Shane.
It has just continued to grow. It's continued to impress. And every time I go, one of my favorite things about being there is that it's the same. I mean, that's what I want. I want to go back. I want to have the same cup of chili. I want to have the same cold beer. And I want to play the same golf course in the same conditions. Day to day, maybe a little different with weather, but condition-wise, it's fun. Yeah. So, Mike, we really appreciate everything you do for golf.
I totally agree, Shane. Thank you.
It looks like I'm a wreck. It's in the hole! It's in the hole!
A big thanks to Mike for jumping on and chatting a little bit about Bandon Dunes. Excited to have the chat with them at Bandon Dunes this week as well, alongside David McClay Kidd. Hopefully we'll get a little bit of a video of that and can post it socially so you guys can get a feel for it. But it'll be a lot of what you just heard from Mike Kaiser. So you got the taste. You got what it is to be Bandon Dunes' founder. I mean, can you imagine laying the groundwork for a place that every golfer wants to go to? It is one of my favorite places in the world. If you check my Instagram at Shane Bacon or even Twitter at Shane Bacon throughout the week, you'll see photos. Trust me, I'm not trying to make anybody jealous. I'm just trying to enjoy my time out there with one of my good buddies and a host of others who will be out there as well. Check back next week. We'll have more Clubhouse podcasts. Fox season is nearing the start. We have the Senior Women's Open to start, and then we roll right into the U.S. Women's Open, and then, of course, the U.S. Open at Pebble Beach. So my big broadcasting season begins, but I will not... I won't ignore the podcast. At least I will try not to. We'll have some fun ones around the U.S. Open. We got a couple of concepts that hopefully come to fruition. Appreciate everybody listening. If you like the podcast, just do me a favor. Go on iTunes, write a quick review. Give it 5 stars if you want. If you want to give it 4 stars, that's fine. 4 or 5 is great, and I appreciate it. We do this for y'all. We do this for you guys. And we do it for golf and golf fans because it's a lot of fun to do, and it's one of my favorite parts of the week is when I get to post these and send them out on social media and all that. So have a great week. Hopefully you get out and play some golf, and we will check back with you next week.